from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. 6 prioritized needs for disaster victims in Central Sulawesi. South Korea hopes the 2018 Asian Paragames can repeat the success of the 2018 Asian Games. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Head of the Information Data Center and Public Relations of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that until Wednesday, 29 countries and 4 international organizations have offered assistance to Indonesia in handling the impact of the earthquake and tsunami in Central Sulawesi. He also pointed out that of the total number, only 17 countries have delivered concrete assistance. After sorting out what was over to the Indonesian government, there are 6 prioritized needs for disaster victims in Central Sulawesi.
Kemudian kita pilih apa yang ditawarkan oleh mereka. Tetap dalam hal ini.
Then we sort out what is offered by them. In this case, there are 6 main needs: aircraft transportation, tanks, water treatment, generators, field hospitals, medical personnel, and fogging. Then there is input from the Ministry of Health for the needs of field hospitals, medical personnel, medicines, and fogging is no longer a priority for international needs. The focuses are transportation, water treatment, generators, and tents.
Transportasi, water treatment, generator, genset dalam hal ini, dan tenda.
Furthermore, Sutopo Purwonugroho also explained that several countries that over the search and rescue team to find victims and the medical team had been decided not to be facilitated because this is not in accordance with the needs of the current Indonesian government. South Korea hopes that the Asian Paragames 2018 to be held in Jakarta on October 8 to 16 can repeat the success of organizing the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra. The South Korean ambassador to Indonesia, Kim Chang-bum, through his remarks at the Independence Day reception, the South Korean Armed Forces in Jakarta recently said that he really feels a different atmosphere in the 2018 Asian Games. He views that the 2018 Asian Games succeeded in fully igniting the energy of the Asian community or the energy of Asia which had been echoed. In August, we witnessed the success of the Jakarta Palembang 2018 Asian Games. During the Asian Games, we really felt energy of Asia emanating from Indonesia. The special thing is that Indonesia and South Korea are both in the top 4. The Asian Paragames will be as successful as the Asian Games. On the same occasion, Ambassador Kim Chang-bum said that the relations between Indonesia and South Korea are currently included in special strategic cooperation. Does both Indonesia and South Korea intend to strengthen relations, especially in the economic and industrial fields, as well as human resources? In fact, to achieve this, both countries agreed to increase the trade value to $30 billion by 2022. In addition, Ambassador Kim Chang-bom also appreciated Indonesia's efforts to support the creation of peace on the Korean Peninsula. Indonesia is one of countries that continues to support the denuclearization and peace agreements in the region. Ministry of Transportation deployed 2 units of Royal and Royal vessels to assist the handling process after the earthquake and tsunami that hit the areas of Palu, Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi Mutong in central Sulawesi on Friday. Director General of Land Transportation at the Ministry of Transportation, Budi Setiadi, told media journalists in Jakarta on Wednesday that the 2 Ro-Ro vessels are motor vessel Drajat Paciran and motor vessel Julung Julung belonging to PT Angkutan Danau Sungai ASDP. Both vessels were deployed to transport logistics and passenger assistance to Palu from Toli-Toli, Central Sulawesi, Makassar, South Sulawesi, Balikpapan, East Kalimantan, to Manado, North Sulawesi.
Kapal Drajat Paciran ferry itu termasuk KMP Julung Julung ferry juga.
The Drajat Paciran vessel, including Julung Julung One, will also serve from Toli Toli to Palu, Palu to Makassar, Palu to Manado, and Balikpapan. Because of the short distance, so we have prepared all the schemes so that the vessels, after sending the aid, can deliver passengers from Palu to the cities that were delivered earlier. Or then there are volunteers who want to be transported by our vessel. The Drajat Paciran vessel is with the measure of 2,900 gross tons, which can carry 350 passengers and 40 units of motor vehicles. Meanwhile, the Julung Julung vessel measures 600 gross tons with a capacity of around 185 passengers and 7 small motor vehicles. Regarding the deployment of the Ro-Ro ships for transportation services in Palu, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi has stated that the condition of the Pontoloan port dock in Palu has no problems and can be used by ships to anchor. Pontoloan port itself has a dock with 550 meters long, which is able to accommodate 3 large-sized vessels at once. Commander of the Domber Oil Field Balikpapan is Kalimantan, Colonel Aviator Muhammad Mujib said that the assistance of 2 Singaporean C-130 Hercules aircraft had arrived at Sultan Muhammad Aziz Sulaiman Airport, Sepinggan, Balikpapan. The 2 aircraft will be used to send logistical assistance to victims of the earthquake and tsunami disaster in Central Sulawesi through Mutiara Sis Al Jufri Airport, Palu, Central Sulawesi. To media in Balikpapan on Wednesday, Muhammad Mujib said that Balikpapan is specifically prepared as an entry point for international assistance for the earthquake and tsunami that occurred in Palu, Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi Mutong regions on Friday.
Sudah ada 2 pesawat yang landing di Balikpapan.
There have been 2 planes landing in Balikpapan for all support coming from abroad that passes through the airport. The entrance is Balikpapan. This is an instruction and order from the military commander. Balikpapan is the entrance for connection to Central Sulawesi. Here we will coordinate carefully. We arrange carefully related to Palu's ability to land there. Muhammad Mujib also said as many as 683 survivors of the earthquake and tsunami disaster in Central Sulawesi have been evacuated to Balikpapan by using Hercules C-130 aircraft belonging to the Indonesian Air Force. Separately, head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency's Data, Information and Public Relations Center, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said in Jakarta on Wednesday, the 4 friendly countries have offered assistance in the form of Hercules C-130 aircraft, namely Singapore 2 units, South Korea 2 units, UK 1 unit, and Japan 2 units. In addition, Japan also provides assistance in the form of a Mi-17 helicopter unit. Sutopo added, the agreement for the assistance of the aircraft is that the sending country accounts for the cost of aviation fuel while operating in Indonesia. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Geological Agency of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, ESDM, reported that a large number of casualties in central Sulawesi were caused by three phenomena, namely a 7.4 magnitude earthquake that devastated a number of buildings, sweeping tsunami waves, and liquefaction or moving soil that shook the soil layer. The phenomena occurred sequentially on Friday afternoon. This was stated by head of the geology section at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Rudy Suhendar, in a press conference held in Jakarta. So there are three happenings at once, so that until now there are more than 1,200 casualties in Palu. So the first occurrence is the collapsing of buildings due to earthquake. The second occurrence is the sweep of the tsunami generated by the landslide or collision from changes in the seawater column. The third one is the liquefaction, which shocked the foundational layers of soil under Palu City. This resulted in three happenings in Palu. Furthermore, Rudy Suhendar explained that the phenomenon of liquefaction occurred because the soil affected is the composition of alluvium soil. Alluvium soil is a sedimentary soil containing fine sand that experiences soil erosion. Usually, alluvium soil is in a zone close to the river flow. When an earthquake measuring 7.4 on the Richter scale shook central Sulawesi, the sediment of water in the soil came up to the surface. The emergence of water is caused by weak soil carrying capacity, so the water rises upward into slurry and causes the building or materials above collapse into because of the movement of the soil. According to Rudy, Palu City is an area is traversed by the fracture of the earth crust or the large core of Palu Caesar, so that a large magnitude earthquake can easily hit down the building above it. Indonesia has received financial information from 58 partners of jurisdictions to implement customer data exchange for tax purposes called automatic exchange of information. Meanwhile, Indonesia has sent a report containing financial information to 51 partners of jurisdictions. Antara News Agency reported a total of 1,809 financial information reports came from domestic financial services institutions in the banking, capital market, and insurance sectors through the Financial Services Authority's Foreign Information Reporting System. Director of the Potential Compliance and Acceptance of the Directorate General of Tax at the Ministry of Finance, Yon Arsal, during a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday night, explained that 1,809 reports regarding foreign customers were sent to Singapore. Contrarily, Indonesia received 58 countries, including Singapore, regarding Indonesian customers in Singapore before September 30. Head of Mount Soputan Monitoring Post, Asep Saipullah, said that Mount Soputan in Minahasa, North Sulawesi, erupted on Wednesday and on Thursday morning. Antara News Agency reported that Asep Saifullah pointed out in Silian on Thursday that the mountain at 4:09 a.m. Indonesian Central Time emitted hot clouds and poured smoke up to the 2,000 meters high. At 6:34 a.m. Indonesia Central Time, another eruption also occurred with the ash reaching as high as 1,500 meters from the top of the mountain towards South Minahasa. The observed ash is white to medium to thick intensity and inclines to west and northwest. Well, listener, that was news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is The IMF World Bank Meeting in Bali Expected to Result in a Joint Agreement to Support the Development of Islamic Economy. Well, listener, the IMET World Bank meeting, which will take place from 8 to 12 October 2018 in Bali, will be an important momentum for the revival of Syariah economic development in Indonesia. The meeting will discuss quite important issues. One of them is to strengthen Islam economy and financial aspects. It's very appropriate that Islam economy is one of important themes in the IMET World Bank annual meeting because the strength of the concept of Islam economy has been recognized and applied by many countries in the world. In addition, the theme of Islam economy is very suitable to be discussed at the IMET World Bank meeting given that the magnitude of the potential of global Syariah economic activities is quite promising. According to data from the Global Islamic Index Thomson Reuters, the potential for global Syariah economic activity can reach $6.38 trillion by 2021. That amount is up 66.40% compared to data recorded in 2015 at $3.84 trillion. Indonesia has a great potential to become the center of global Islam economy, considering that the Muslim population of Indonesia reaches 85% of its total population. The Indonesian Muslim population is currently quite large, reaching 12.7% of the population of the world population. With this population, Indonesia is considered capable of becoming a major player in the global Islamic economy. Besides being supported by a large Muslim population, Indonesian Islam economy can be developed by utilizing the potential of Indonesian halal industry, covering the pharmaceutical industry, halal fashion industry, halal tourism, and Islamic financial institutions. For pharmaceutical consumption, as stated by Coordinating Minister for Economy, Darmin Nasution, Indonesia is number 5 of the global consumption of halal pharmaceutical drugs, with a consumption rate of $5.7 billion, and consumption of halal cosmetics is worth $3.7 billion. Then fashion consumption in the world reached $30.5 billion, and consumption of halal world tourism is worth $9.7 billion. Although it has great potential, until now the development of Islam economy in Indonesia has not been maximized because the Islam economy management has not been carried out in an integrated manner, so that it has not received optimal outcomes. In addition, the Islam economy is still less popular for the people of Indonesia. The IMET World Bank meeting is expected to be able to result in a collective agreement that supports the development of Islam economy in the world, especially in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on October 4, 1957, when spacecraft of Soviet Union, Sputnik 1, was launched from Cosmodrome Baikonur in the Soviet Socialist Republic of Kazakhstan. Sputnik 1 became the first unmanned space mission and the first artificial satellite to orbit the Earth on October 4, 1957. The launching of Sputnik 1 was made by Soviet Union at the peak of Cold War, surprised Western world and caused the United States of America to begin space competition with Soviet Union, and also movement to reform science education. The next event is that in 1999, when North Maluku, one of Indonesian provinces, was established. North Maluku was officially established on October 4, 1999 through Law No. 46-1999 and Law No. 6-2003. Before officially becoming a province, North Maluku was part of Maluku Province, namely North Maluku and Central Halmahera Regency. At the beginning of this establishment, North Maluku Province has capital city in Ternate, which is located on the slope of Mountain Gamalama for 11 years. precisely until August 4, 2010, after 11 years of the transition period and preferredness of the infrastructure, the capital city of North Maluku was moved to Sopi City, which is located on Halmahera Island, that is the biggest island. And the last event was in 2000 when Banten was separated from West Java to become a new province of Indonesia. Banten is a province on Java Island, Indonesia. Earlier, the province was part of West Java province, but the province has been separated since October 4, 2000, with decree of law number 23/2000. Its central government is in Seram. Banten is connected line between Java and Sumatra in regard to its geographical position and government. Banten territory, especially Tangerang City, Tangerang Regency, and South Tangerang City, is buffer zone of Jakarta. Economically, Banten has many industry and sun seaport which are developed as an anticipation to accommodate capacity surplus from seaports in Jakarta. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia, entitled Unhealthy Condition of Seagrass Needs to be Addressed. Padang lamun or seagrass is a typical shallow sea ecosystem in warm waters with sand bottom and is dominated by seagrass plants, which belong to the Ales Meadows plant group, and it has adapted to salt water. The Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, report that the condition of Indonesian seagrass is classified as unhealthy due to the dominance of human activities that are environmentally destructive or anthropogenic. Seagrass researcher at the LIPI Oceanographic Research Center, Nurul Dewanimirah Safri, in the presentation of the status of the 2018 Indonesian seagrass at the Center for Oceanographic Research, LIPI, North Jakarta, on Monday, October the 1st, revealed that, in general, the percentage of seagrass cover in Indonesia was 42.23%. Based on the Minister of Environment Decree No. 200/2004, the 42.23% seagrass cover shows the unhealthy condition. Nurul Dewayani further stated that the seagrass condition is affirmed to be healthy if the percentage of seagrass cover is more than 60%. The seagrass cover is called unhealthy if the percentage of seagrass is 30 to 59.9%, and is called a poor condition if the percentage is 0 to 29.9%. She added that, based on the result of LIPI's research, Indonesia's seagrass meadow status over the past 3 years has tended to be unhealthy. In 2015, it was 46%, in 2016, 37.68%, and in 2017, it was 42.23%. Nurul also pointed out that the areas classified as poor seagrass cover are Batam, Bangka Belitung, Kendari, and Lampung. The areas classified as unhealthy are Makassar, Biak, North Nias, Selayar, Wakatobi, and Buton. There are only two locations that have healthy seagrass conditions, such as Maumere, Sika, and Halmahera, Ternate. Based on the latest data recorded by LIPI Oceanographic Research Center in 2017, the seagrass area in Indonesia covers 293,464 hectares. In 2016, the seagrass in Indonesia was only 150,693 hectares. This figure shows an increase in the seagrass area. The increase was due to the addition of data from the Oceanography Research Center of LIPI, the Geospatial Information Agency, and the Nature Conservation. Meanwhile, Deputy of Earth Sciences of LIPI, Zainal Arifin, said that human activities had caused seagrass condition to be managed. The human activities include infrastructure development that does not pay attention to ecosystems and sand extraction. Meanwhile, the human activities that contribute to the decline in seagrass areas are coastal reclamation, dredging and sand mining, and pollution. Zainal added that 60% of Indonesia's marine pollution comes from the mainland. That's my Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani, head of the Information Data Center and Public Relations of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, sat in Jakarta on Wednesday that until Wednesday, 29 countries and 4 international organizations have offered assistance to Indonesia in handling the impact of the earthquake and tsunami in central Sulawesi. South Korea hopes that the Asian Paragames 2018 to be held in Jakarta on October 8 to 16 can repeat the success of organizing the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra. Ministry of Transportation deployed 2 units of roll-on-roll vessels to assist the handling process after the earthquake and tsunami that hit the areas of Palu, Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi Mutong, Central Sulawesi on Friday. Commander of the Domber Oil Field, Balikpapan, East Kalimantan, Colonel Aviator Muhammad Mujib said that the assistance of 2 Singaporean C-130 Hercules aircraft had arrived at Sultan Mahmud Haji Sulaiman Airport, Sepinggan, Balikpapan. The Geological Agency of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources reported that a large number of casualties in central Sulawesi were caused by 3 phenomena, namely a 7.4 magnitude earthquake that devastated a number of buildings, sweeping tsunami waves, and liquefaction or moving soil that shook the soil layer. Indonesia has received financial information from 58 partners of jurisdictions to implement customers' data exchange for tax purposes called automatic exchange of information. Head of Mount Soputan Monitoring Post, Asep Saifullah, said that Mount Soputan in Minahasa, North Sulawesi, erupted on Wednesday and on Thursday morning. Antara News Agency reported that Asep Saifullah pointed out in Silian on Thursday that the mountain at 4:09 a.m. Indonesia Central Time emitted hot clouds and poured smoke up to 2,000 meters high. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Ampenan Old City. Stay tuned. Besides Bali, Lombok Island become one of the favorite destinations for tourists visiting Indonesia. The beauty of the island has attracted many local and foreign tourists. Generally, the tourists enjoying the beauty of Lombok by visiting its beautiful beaches. In addition to the beautiful beaches, Lombok also has an old city tourism object called the Ampenan Old City. people of Malay, Arabic and Chinese descent living together in this area. Ampenan Old City is one of the cities designated by the government in the Indonesian Heritage City Network, JKPI. There are 43 cities in Indonesia included in the Indonesian Heritage City Network. Ampenan City was built by the Dutch to align with the kingdoms in Bali Island. Ampenan comes from the word Amben in Sasak language, means a place of stopover. The name is very appropriate, considering Ampenan is a port city where various ethnic groups stop at that time. Ampenan Old City was the first trade route in Mataram. Since long time, the region has become the lively center of economy. Many shops and traditional markets sell various items, starting from electronic devices, clothes and groceries. Currently, Ampenan Old City is inhabited by residents of various ethnic groups. It can be seen from the name of place of origin, such as Kampung Tionghoa or Chinese village, Kampung Arab or Arab village, Bugis village, Malay village, Javanese village, Balinese village, and Banjar village. Listener, it is easy to go to Ampenan Old City. It takes only 15 minutes by land transportation from Mataram City, the capital of West Nusa Tenggara Province. During traveling to the Ampenan Old City, you can see artistic and unique heritage buildings of the local people with bright and colorful style. Most of the buildings in this area are already old. The buildings were the heritage buildings from the Dutch era in 1800s. Residents only renovate in small part of the buildings just to give touch of color to look bright. To get around the Ampenan Old City, you can use Jidomo, a horse carriage, which becomes traditional vehicles of people in Lombok Island. Ampenan Old City is usually visited by many tourists in the morning and evening. In addition to avoid hot weather during the day, the tourists are also want to enjoy the sunrise or sunset. There are also cafes, stalls and restaurants which are available in the tourism site. In addition to enjoy various art deco buildings, there are also various industrial activities you can visit in Ampenan Old City, such as the pearl industry, the chukli industry or wooden home furnishing center, brass crafts, and other crafts industry. That was Indonesian Wonderful Today featuring Ampenan Old City in West Nusa Tenggara. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. In today's edition, we will present you information on Indonesian students in van jacket to balance body temperature. Stay tuned. Listener, Hypothermia is a condition when human bodies cannot resist the cold temperature. In Indonesia, the case of hypothermia commonly occurs since several regions in Indonesia have extreme temperature. In addition, for hikers, hypothermia is one of the diseases which frequently causes them to get incidents. Therefore, a number of students from the engineering and medical faculty of Brawijaya University have invented a jacket to anticipate the case of hypothermia called G-Droid. Bagas Priyo Hadi Wibowo, a student of Electrical Engineering 2015, along with his four colleagues, Firmansyah Putra Satria, a student of Electrical Engineering 2015, Ahmad Fatan Halif, as a student of Electrical Engineering 2015, and Anissa Istighfari Hernanda Air, as a student of Medical Department 2015, has made innovation called Android Jacket for Hypothermia and Hyperthermia, or G-Roid. The jacket helps balance body temperature. The jacket will be further developed so the result can be more accurate, efficient, and effective. The development is important so that the jacket can be applied thoroughly for all people. G-Roid succeeded at gaining some awards such as gold medals at the 10th International Exhibition of Inventions, IEI, and the 3rd World Invention and Innovation, WIFF 2018 in Foshan, China, which was held on 13 to 15 September 2018. Besides collecting gold medals from the competition, which was followed by 253 teams from 49 countries, they also obtained another award from Thailand as the best innovation. It took them 2 months for the Brawijaya team to join the competition. There was miscellany about Indonesian students invent jacket to balance body temperature. See you on our next editions with more interesting topics.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Music Corner, a segment which presents you in Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. For today's edition of Music Corner, I will present to you some nostalgic songs from KUS Plus. To initiate the Music Corner, I will dedicate to you a song entitled Layang Layang by KUS Plus. Let's enjoy the song.
Then
listener, KUS Plus is an Indonesian music group formed in 1969. The group was a continuation of KUS Bersaudara Group. The group, which was famous in the 1970s, was regarded as a pioneer of pop and rock and roll music in Indonesia. The songs of KUS Plus were then rearranged by musicians in Indonesia such as Krisya, Kahitna, and Marsanda. Well, listener, now I'll present the song Kisah Sedih Di Hari Minggu by KUS Plus. The song Kisah Sedih Di Hari Minggu contained in the second album of KUS Plus entitled Volume 2. The album that was released in 1970 has managed to rank 21st on the list of 150 best Indonesia albums by Rolling Stone Indonesia magazine, published in December 2007. The song was also dedicated by Marsyanda with a new version, released in 2004. Marsyanda's version of the song was made by the soundtrack of the soap opera, which she played with the same title, Kisah Sedih Di Hari Minggu. The song tells the story of someone who is heartbroken. He or she hopes the story is just a dream. Well, listener, coming up next, the song Buat Apa Susah by KUS Plus.
Berguna kau bersedih hati
You've just listened to Cosplus. This song invites people to always happy so that the difficulties will be easy and light. Listener, to end today's edition of Music Corner, I will dedicate to you a song, Kolam Susu by Cosplus. The song describes about the admiration toward the beloved country with abundance of natural resources. That was today's edition of Music Corner. See you tomorrow with different music presented in the segment Music Corner. Bye for now.
penggemarnya. Siapa itu? Oh, ku tak tahu. Oh, siapa itu? Oh, ku tak tahu.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.